lives. Paul talks about endurance because he says that our suffering helps produce endurance in us. Paul talks about character because he says our endurance helps build up our character in Jesus Christ. And then he talks about hope because he says that character builds up hope in Jesus Christ, which will never disappoint us. For Paul, everything is about Jesus Christ and what he has done. Everything for Paul is about the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and what that means for us. As he starts this passage in Romans 5, he goes back to his old familiar litany of that we are saved by God's faith. We are justified by faith. Paul stresses that we can't ever be good enough to earn our way into heaven. We can never do enough good things in order to earn our salvation. It is in all a gift to us through Jesus Christ. And through this gift that we have in Jesus Christ, Paul also says that we have peace with God. In just the next verses in Romans, Paul says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God has sought to make peace to us and with us. And then Paul also reminds us that through Christ is the one through whom we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand. It all depends upon Jesus Christ. And then Paul starts talking about boasting. He says we can boast in sharing the glory of God, but when Paul talks about boasting, he talks about something very different than you and I normally think about when we think of boasting. When we think of boasting, we think about saying how great and wonderful we are. When we talk about boasting, we love to boast about our teams, especially if our teams happen to be doing well. When we boast, we love boasting about our kids, don't we? All right, we've got the bumper stickers and all those things. And sometimes we really boast about ourselves. Those of us old enough to remember Muhammad Ali and his amazing, what's the word, lack of humility? At times when he said, I am the greatest. But when Paul talks about boasting, Paul talks about boasting because of the things he suffered for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now, I many times say to our young people at church, if you are a young Christian living in 21st century America, the greatest suffering you will ever face for being a Christian is having to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. And we all know how horrible that is. But when Paul talks about boasting and suffering, he knows what he's talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12, he goes through this long litany of things he has suffered. And he concludes by saying, if I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. Because Paul wasn't out saying, look at me, how great and amazing I am. Paul was not patting himself on the back because of his faithfulness to Jesus Christ and what a great martyr he was for Jesus. No. Paul, when he boasted of his suffering, said, I do so because it reminds me of what Jesus Christ went through for me, of how Jesus suffered for me. And then Paul shares with the Corinthians, who weren't all that impressed with Paul because he wasn't tall, he wasn't good looking, he wasn't a great preacher, and they didn't think he was really all that hot, and why should he be their apostle? Paul shares with them everything in which he could boast, not about himself, but Jesus Christ. If you've never read these words in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, get your Bibles out and look at these. This is what the Apostle Paul went through, simply because he was faithful to Jesus Christ in a time when it was illegal to be a Christian. He said, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 39 lashes. 5 times Paul was beaten on his back with special whips called flagella that had multi-tines, and on the end they were tied with either pieces of bone or metal or glass. You could only be whipped 39 times because 40 could be fatal. Paul says, 3 times I was beaten with metal rods. Can you imagine what Paul's back looked like? I've got a couple of scars on my body, but can you imagine the scar-filled back of Paul simply because he was faithful to Jesus Christ? He's just getting going, folks. In the city of Lystra, he said, I was stoned and left for dead, but fortunately he survived and his friends rescued him. Paul said, in my missionary journeys, I was shipwrecked. He spent many hours, many days, many months on the sea traveling all around the Roman Empire. I was shipwrecked, he says, not once, not twice, But three times I was shipwrecked traveling to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I spent a day and a night floating in the middle of the sea until I was rescued. He talks about all the dangers he faced. Paul said, I faced danger from rivers in a time when there were very few bridges if you need to cross a river. I faced danger from robbers. In Paul's day, if you had into trouble on the road, you couldn't call 911. The Roman Sheriff's Department wasn't going up and down the road looking for you. The seaways were not safe. Julius Caesar himself was kidnapped by pirates and held for ransom when he was young. Paul says, I was in danger from Jews and Gentiles, my own people and stranger. I was in danger in the cities. I was in danger in the wilderness. I was in danger at the sea. I was in danger from people I thought were my friends but turned out to be wolves in sheep's clothing. They said they were for me, but they ended up being against me and tried to do all kinds of ill to me. I was in danger in the hard times. He writes, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night. Do you ever have trouble sleeping? What keeps you awake at night? Imagine what kept Paul awake at night. All his worries, all his troubles, everything he faced. He said, I was in danger because I was hungry. I was in danger because I was thirsty. I was in danger because I was naked and cold. Paul spent many years, we believe, in Roman prisons for the fact he was a Christian. And when you sat in a Roman dungeon, you weren't always clothed and there was no central heating for you. It was awful. And on top of all of this, Paul says, I have all the pressures, the daily pressures of the churches to whom I am responsible. Again, you have a job? You ever have job pressures? Ever have family pressures in your lives? Paul had these on top of everything else, and he's still not done. Because Paul also says, and I also had my thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but Paul had some severe physical ailment that bothered him his entire life. And in 2 Corinthians, he says, three times I besought the Lord to take it away from me. And don't just think he said, oh dear God, please make me better, amen. He poured his heart and soul out to the Lord, but God's answer to Paul was no. I won't heal you, but my grace is sufficient for you. Paul had to deal with all of this, and if it weren't worse enough, he had to get up on Sunday mornings and go to church and preach. And Paul was known to preach for up to 6 hours at a time. That's what Paul went through. And I asked the question, how could Paul possibly have endured all of that? And Paul's answer is very simple. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because that's what Jesus Christ did for me. And Paul, too, he would have asked the question, how could Christ have gone through all of that for me? In his letter to the Corinthians, we call 1 Corinthians, he reminds us that God shows his power through the weakness of the cross. And many people think that is foolishness. Many people think that is a scandal. But the cross, says Paul, is how God shows his power to us. We all suffer, don't we? Nobody gets out of this life without suffering. I bet lots of you suffer from all those aches and pains we have in our body. I love my doctor, but I hate it when my doctor says to me, as we age. We suffer those aches and pains, illnesses in our lives. We suffer the pain of losing someone dear to us. On Friday, Karen and I went back to my former church for the funeral of a wonderful man. And we saw the pain on his wife of 54 years as she said goodbye to him. We know the suffering that comes, that we bring upon ourselves by our words or our actions or the ways we ruin relationships. But we need to understand that the sufferings Paul endured were not because of something he stupidly did, but because he dared to be faithful to Jesus Christ. But through all of Paul's sufferings, he learned something. He learned that our sufferings can make us stronger. Now, some people, when they go through difficult times, they are destroyed by them. But many people, and Paul says especially among Christians, many people, when they go through difficult times, they grow stronger. And many of you know what that is like. You have seen people who have been strong in the midst of difficult times. Perhaps you are someone who has found inner strength in the midst of your sufferings. And then Paul tells us what this does for us. because Paul says that our sufferings can produce endurance, that we can keep going and we can be stronger in the midst of all our suffering. I've seen that so many times in my ministry. I just saw this recently with Fred Peterson as he was dying from cancer. The strength and the endurance Fred had. We've seen it, many of you, in Janelle Hagerman in the last, 7-8 months as she's battled her serious illness. And so many times she said to me when I visited her, I'm okay. God's with me. She's learned that endurance. Endurance is important. It's as important as the little engine that could, that wonderful story many of us read when we were kids or have read to our kids. I love the speech that Winston Churchill gave to a group of school children during the darkest days of World War II when Germany was on Britain's doorstep, bombing Britain daily. And Churchill went to a school and said to those boys, he said, never give in, never give in, never, never, never endurance. The Apostle Paul knew all about this endurance as well. At the end of his letter to the Philippians, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we must remember that when Paul wrote those words, he's sitting in a Roman prison, not at some resort somewhere. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance, says Paul, produces character. It makes us better people. And all through his letters, Paul talks about what Christian character is all about. And his favorite way of holding up Christian character is by saying, we are called to imitate Jesus Christ in our lives. You and I, my friends, we are called to live like Jesus, to be like Jesus. We need to trust God like Jesus trusted God. We need to love others like Jesus loved others. We need to be strong in God as Jesus was strong in God. We must always remember that Jesus told his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. And when he said that to his disciples, he meant it literally, because most of Jesus' disciples ended up dying because they were faithful to him. You and I are fortunate to live in a country where that probably will not be the case for us. But he still calls us to pick up our crosses and come after him. I love this quote that I came across as I was working on my sermon this week. When you come to the end of yourself, you find the beginning of God. That's what Paul stresses in his letters. He talks several times about dying to himself and rising to Jesus Christ. He talks about how in the midst of his sufferings, he can give up and surrender to Jesus Christ, knowing that Christ will give him strength. Because finally, Paul says that that character produces hope. My father ended every sermon with words from Paul in Philippians chapter 4, where he talks about the peace that passes all human understanding. Keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Paul tells us in these words from Romans 5 that hope doesn't disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We've got the familiar song, my hope is built on nothing less than what? Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's all about what Christ has done for us. And Christian friends, this is not some hypothetical theology. Paul does not just say that Christians should think about all these things. It's not an intellectual exercise. You and I are called to live this way, to put our faith into practice. Jesus did not say, think about picking up your cross and following me. He says, pick up your cross and following me. And that can be hard work. Again, I tell our young people at church, being a Christian is hard work. It's a lot easier and more simple to not believe anything. It takes work to commit yourself to something. And we who love the easy button in life, wouldn't the easy button be great for everything? That's not the way our faith works. Remember what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount about that narrow door? Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few that take it. Or the words he speaks in Matthew 11 about taking his yoke upon you. He says, let me guide you through life. Let me walk with you through life. Learn from me And he reminds us that this is easy, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Paul basically says, when we live this way, we discover that this is true. Many of you know these words of Paul are absolutely true because they have hit you and helped you in your life. I've shared with some of you the story about the night my dad died. When my dad died 20 years ago, I'd been a pastor for almost 17 years. I'd ministered to many people who had lost loved ones, but you know what? I'd never lost anyone close to me before. And I lay in bed that night, the night after we got that phone call that my dad had passed away, and I had the tears and I had the sadness. But I also had that verse my dad closed every sermon with, the peace that passes all understanding. And I remember lying in bed that night going, wow, this faith stuff really works. Because I felt that comfort even in the midst of my loss. That's what faith can do to us. Now I want to switch tack just a little bit and talk about one specific way in which Paul's words can come alive in us. And that has to do with Crossways camps. You've been hearing us talk about the Crossway camp campaign that's going on. Camping is a wonderful way for young people to grow in faith and for people of all ages to grow in faith. Camp is great. Camp gets you away with other people. Camp gets you out into the beauty of God's creation. And our Lutheran camps are also a great place for us to learn about Jesus Christ. I happen to think camp is great, but there are sometimes young people who are not all that excited to go to camp for many different reasons. My daughter Hannah was one of those. Okay, she's out of town, so she can't tell me, don't tell the story, Dad. When Hannah was in seventh grade and went to confirmation camp, she did not want to go to confirmation camp. And her reason for not wanting to go to confirmation camp was really simple. She thought for sure she would die there. Absolutely convinced she would die at camp. Because you see, Hannah, as she says, doesn't do the fresh air thing. Hannah does not like the outside. Hannah, when she was little, we would hear the scream from the backyard, bug! And she'd come running inside because there had been an ant on the ground near to her. And Hannah was absolutely sure if she went to camp, she would die. When it came time to sew her name into her clothing, it was not so that she wouldn't lose her clothing. It was so her body could be more easily identified when they found it at camp. But she went to camp, and she had an amazing time. She dared to step outside of her comfort zone. And she came back talking about what a great experience she had had. And it led her to go on mission trips in high school and do other things. That's part of what Paul talks about in this text. Just to be able to grow in faith, to take that risk. Because camp is one way in which our young people and all of us do grow in faith. And I do want you to know that young kids who go to confirmation camp, they do not suffer. Maybe the weather won't be the greatest, and I don't think they serve beets there, but the food's really, really good. They do not suffer. But what I do know about camp is it helps young people to learn endurance. It helps them to take these steps to grow in their faith a bit. It helps them take a step on that all-important journey of faith. I also know that going to camp builds character. It makes you a better person. Last week you heard from Megan Olson, who went to confirmation camp when she was young, who has been a camp leader, a camp counselor. Her sister's up at the camp this year. It leads us into endurance. It helps us to learn to live like Jesus Christ. And camp builds up that hope that does not disappoint us. Camp is one way in our Christian walk where we, as Paul says, we learn to have access to the grace in which we stand. And so I give you the invitation in your worship folders today. It's some information about camp to consider making a gift to the camp over these next 3 years. My wife Karen and I, we're going to make a gift. I heard last week Katie said that $6,500 has already been pledged from our church, which is wonderful. But your gifts to the camp, just one way in which we help young people grow in faith. We know the church asks for money, but the church asks for money for really good reasons. This is a really good reason. I encourage you to consider doing that, to help young people learn this great formula of faith in their lives. Well, next week, we get a fashion show. Because next week I'm preaching on the words from Paul in Galatians chapter 3 about how we clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful image about what faith is all about. Amen.